Amen. I asked the pastor, I said, do I need this right here because I may walk around? He said, that is how I see you. So, yes, I will probably walk around. I have been very blessed and very honored. You know, I mentioned that my father-in-law sings, but I've been very blessed. We've had our group now for 6 years, and I've been very blessed to speak in a lot of places. Not everywhere we go are we allowed to do the preaching. Sometimes the pastor preaches. Sometimes we just have to, they want just a singing service and present our ministry that way. When we always mix in a message, we realize that singing a lot of times will reach people that preaching will not. But we also know that nothing can replace the Word of God. Amen. I've been preaching since I was 13 years old. That's only been about years. God has been very good. I asked Christ into my heart just before I turned 7. I was raised in church. We did not have television in my house until I was 6. So all I had was Christian radio and my mother being a teacher in Christian school. And all I had was Christian radio. We had no television, and mom and dad, and learning songs and learning the alphabet. And mom has cassette tapes of where she had taught me to quote the books of the Bible at 2 years old. And that's because mom and dad were teaching me. So I came to the realization of Christ at an early age. And I have 3 little girls. I have 12, I have 7, and I have 3. And my prayer is that the 12-year-old, she has proclaimed Christ, has accepted Christ, that the 7-year-old and the 3-year-old will come to the knowledge of Christ at an early age, just as I did. But at age of 9, I went to the altar just to pray one night at church, and my dad asked me, what did you pray about? I said, I just felt like God would have me go and pray. And he asked me, he said, what will you do with your life? I don't know, I'm 9. I'm 9 years old. I don't know what I will do with my life. He said, you need to ask God what he would have you do with your life. The age of 12, God began speaking to my heart that he would have me to preach. I had no problem standing up in church singing. I had been singing in the church since I was 2. I had no problem with that. I was very okay in front of people. And the age of 13, I accepted the call to preach, told God, yes, that is what I will do with my life. And so different meetings, speaking to youth. Sometimes you speak to youth, you're a young person, they relate to that, and I was able to preach and do a lot of youth revivals and things there in my church. But God has blessed me with the calling. I do not take it lightly. I'm very thankful God would call me to preach and he would give me a ministry to stand and sing. Just as Caden, 16 years old, if you ask my mom and dad, the only thing I ever wanted to do was to stand up and sing. I would follow the gospel quartets, and I would buy their CDs, and I would listen to them. It's all I ever wanted to do. But God has given me an extra blessing by calling me to preach and allowing me to do both with the Pointed Quartet, and I thank him for that. We're going to look this morning in the book of Psalm and in the book of Hebrews. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 19, as I mentioned a moment ago, in Appointed Quartet's travels, and we'll see 7 states this year, and if we travel out to see Caden and Mississippi, that will be 8 states that God will allow us to minister in this year. And everywhere we go, we find the same message, and that's people need the Lord. People need the Lord, whether they be white, whether they be black, whether they be Hispanic, Chinese, whatever, Korean, whatever. And we can learn a lot from children. I took my children to the playground, to the big playground there in Chattanooga, Tennessee 2 weeks ago. And my 3-year-old, she ran in and was playing amongst all the slides and things. And about 30 seconds later, came out the other side, and she was holding hands with a little, a black girl. And they were swinging arms like this. And she said, I want you to meet my friend. And I looked at my wife and I said, she's not been in there maybe 2 minutes. And she's came out and said, this is my friend. And it dawned on me that we could learn a lot, Pastor, from children, because my 3-year-old did not see a little black girl. She did not see the Hispanic children playing. She did not see the Chinese children playing. All she saw was children. And somewhere along the line, we as adults are messing our kids up. They did not see all those children of different nationalities playing together. Now I realize God separated the nationalities in the Old Testament, and I realize that. But at some point, we have to learn to love everybody. And so as we travel with a pointed quartet and we sing in Baptist churches and Church of God's and Methodist churches and Romanian churches and whatever God will open the door for us to do, we have to remember the message remains the same, that Christ is still the only way to heaven. Christ is still the only way. That is not a debate. We can go to Washington, D.C., and we can ask the Democrats what they think, or the Republicans what they think, or the Independents what they think, or the Liberals, the Conservatives, whichever they want to go with, and say, what is the way to heaven? Their answer does not matter. The answer is already settled. The only way to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that settled it. He is the way. But as we travel into a lot of churches, we go into Sunday mornings where people profess the name of Christ. Okay, well, they have the salvation taken care of. They're sure. They can say, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. And they know who Jesus Christ is as Savior. But yet, as we go out into the world, we are faced with problems. The world that does not agree with our Bible, that does not worship our Jesus, that does not love our Savior as we love Him. Do we love the Lord this morning? Yes, we do. But we go, and as Christians, we can get discouraged. We can get where sometimes, if we're honest, if I can just say it like I did growing up in the country, I just want to quit. Sometimes we get where, excuse me, we get where we just don't feel like going another mile. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 19, Psalm David talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. And I don't know what you have with you this morning. I've always grown up. I grew up just out in the country. I have a King James Bible with me this morning. Whatever you have, if you've got the pastor is using something else or the AV is using something else, that's fine. I'm reading from King James Bible this morning if you want to follow along with yours. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, which is our, showeth His handiwork. Day to day utter speech, and night to night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There is nowhere where you cannot look and see the glory of God. That's what Psalmist David said here. Their lines gone through all the earth. Verse 4, their words to the end of the world. And in them as they set a tabernacle for the sun. In verse 5, notice, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. And the translation here says like a champion rejoicing to run his course. That's what I wanted to talk about this morning. If you turn over and you flip with us here and we parallel the scripture in Hebrews chapter number 12, you'll see where it says in verse 1, seeing we are also compassed or surrounded about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You stand here with perseverance, the race that is set before us, the course. I want to ask you this morning in your Christian life, and if we can just be honest, we can lay our guard down this morning. How many of us have had things happen this week that discouraged us, that kind of bothered us? Like, why am I even doing this? Have you ever questioned sometimes maybe, say, why do I serve the Lord the way I serve Him? Why do I attend church every week? Why do I go? Why do I run this race? And it's not a sprint. A sprint is a very short race. In high school, back when I was a couple pounds lighter, I would run in high school, Pastor, I ran the 1600 meter, which is a little more than a mile. And I would run, and you would do 4 laps around the quarter-mile track. And I remember in laps 1, 2, and 3, every time I ran, and I ran all through high school, but I would always take off, and they would say, ready, set, and they would fire the starter pistol, and I would run. And I remember about halfway through lap number 1, I would say, why am I doing this? In the middle of lap 2, I would think, you know, I'm tired. In the middle of lap 3, I would begin to say, now there's no shame in stopping. But as I rounded and I got into lap number 4, a voice in my mind started telling me, you know, if you make it back around there this next time, you can stop. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about this morning. There are some things in my Christian life sometimes that I get discouraged and I don't want to run the race anymore. Sometimes in this flesh, in this body, sometimes I want to quit. If you go to certain places, you can go find someone back home that probably doesn't like me. And if you talk to them long enough, they'll tell you things about me that they don't like, and they'll almost have you deciding that I'm not a good person. And those are Christian people. And that discourages me, Pastor. When someone talks bad about us, or someone speaks bad of us, it discourages us. How many have ever been talked bad about? Someone's ever said something bad about you? How many of you have had something told about you that was not true? That's discouraging. And you think to yourself, why would a Christian person do that? Why would God's people want to talk about each other? I would just soon rather not deal with it than go do that. How many have ever been on a job where there was drama, there was problems? You think, why do I even go to that job with the way they act, the way they do? Why I'll just quit. But there's things that I find in my Bible when I get discouraged, when I get down, when I get bothered, there's things that I find that make me want to keep running the race. They want me to keep running the race. And I'm staying very simple this morning. Normally I have an outline, but I'm keeping it simple this morning. As I read Hebrews 12, if we can put that back up there, Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2, I want to show you some things. It says, seeing we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The Bible here, in my Bible, it says compassed, surrounded, all the way around. When I think of those that are watching me, I know that I cannot quit the race. Did you know that whether you realize it or not, you are the only Bible someone will ever read? There are witnesses, they are watching. As I look, there are these little girls right here. They're looking at someone. This pastor sitting here on the front, you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you're an aunt, you're an uncle, you're raising a child. You've raised a child. Someone's watching you. You know, I believe there's a cloud of witnesses, and I believe those that are in heaven are looking on. We'll get to that in a moment, but I believe there are people looking here. I have 3 little girls that are watching me. Doug's got 2 boys at home, and whether anyone believes it or not, Doug is their hero. I don't see it, but Doug is their hero. Those 3 little girls, these guys don't understand. I'm their hero. To somebody, you are their hero. Doug likes the superheroes. Doug likes the Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk and all those. He likes those movies. But in those little boys' eyes, Doug is the hero. We are the only Bible some people will ever read. And I look at people that are watching, people that are looking. The world is looking to us for answers. Have you ever noticed that when something goes wrong, whether it be 17 years ago with 9/11 or a bombing or a shooting or whatever, who do they look at? They look at us. How are we responding? I have people that I've worked with that will not come to church. I invite them to church. I witness them about Christ. Not interested. Their father gets sick. Their mother gets sick. Their child gets sick. And the first person they come to, they say, will you pray? How many of you ever had that happen before? They're looking at you. So when we run our race, we have to remember that we're not running this race for ourselves. We're running this race because of what Christ has done in my life. That's another reason. I think of how good God has been to me. God has been good. God has blessed me with a vehicle, with a job, with a family, with a church, with a house. I don't miss any meals. God has provided. And I think of how good God has been. It makes me want to run my race. I think of these that are watching me and looking around. It makes me want to run my race. I can't quit now, Pastor. I cannot stop. I have people watching me. I've got folks watching me. But I remember one time, and look at this. Also, in running our race, this is very, very telling. My King James Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. Your translation up there says, let us throw off everything that hinders. And the sin. I grew up all my life thinking, if I would get rid of that sin, if I would get rid of that problem, then I could run this race. And then I saw in my Bible where it says, get rid of the weights and the sin. Those are two separate things. Two separate things. So what could be everything that hinders? Everything that hinders. Besides the sin. Whether it be your past. How many of us have things in our past before we came to know Christ that we would want no one to know? Sure we do. Has the devil ever tried to tell you, well, look what you did. You can't serve God. Look at what you did. That don't matter. Can't let that happen. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. If we've got something that's standing between us and God and it's a sin, of course we've got to get rid of that. We've got to throw off everything else. I remember when I ran track and I ran that mile in high school. I remember my dad came home one day and he had a shirt that to me, I thought, there's nothing to it. And he had some shorts and I said, Dad, there's nothing there. And he handed me some shoes and they were really, really light. I said, what's all this for? He said, I bought that for you so you could run your races. He said, there's no hindrance there. It's very, very light. Made sense. I was able to finish ninth in the nation in the mile run. My senior year of high school, I got first 3 out of the 4 years in the mile run. And I finished ninth in the nation. I could actually run a mile in right at 4 minutes. The guy that won the national, he ran it in like 3:50. I was like 15 seconds behind him. There was 9 of us. I got where I could run a mile pretty fast thanks to some training and thanks to Dad's light clothes that he gave me. There was no hindrances there. But as we look, we see, lay aside every weight and the sin. And let us run with patience or perseverance. You know, we're not going to get there very easy. There's roadblocks in the way. How many of us know things that hinder us every single day in the way? Sure, it happens. I want to go back to the cloud of witnesses. By the way, if you know someone that's in full-time service or ministering for Christ, I remember my last year of school. I fell behind pretty far in my last race. And my uncle was our coach. And I had a lot of friends that were up in the stands as I ran. Up in the seats. And they started encouraging me and cheering for me. And I could hear them out on the track and I thought, they're cheering for me. I should probably try harder. They're behind me. And I started running a little faster and they got louder. And the louder they got, the faster I got. And the faster I got, the louder they got. And so vice versa. And we went back and forth and I started gaining ground, and as I started gaining ground on the man in front of me, they started getting louder. I was able to pass him, and everyone was cheering. There was a big loud noise, and everything was happy. But I thought to myself, I could not have made it without their help. If you see somebody that needs encouraging this morning, someone that needs uplifted, someone that's running the race, you see they're falling behind a little bit, don't be afraid to give them a word of encouragement. Whether it be just a text message, hey, thinking about you today, blessings, praying for you. You'll be surprised what that'll do. But the main reason that I want to run my race, two reasons. One, because of who I'm running it for, and because the race is almost over. How many can agree that based on Scripture, we probably will not be here much longer? Looking unto Jesus, verse number 2, the author and the finisher of our faith. You have here the pioneer and perfecter. I like all that. I like this translation here where it says, in the King James Bible, where it says the author. I like the author because he wrote my story. I like that word, the author, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, the race has already been run. The pattern's already been set. The way has been laid. And I'm running for my Savior. I'm in this race. I'm in this fight. I'm in this life for one purpose, and that's to please the Lord Jesus Christ. If I stay true to this Bible and I live my life and the world does not like it, sorry. I'm living my life to please the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife, we sang at a service last night where some friends of ours had some medical difficulties, heart attacks and strokes, and the man in the family, he nearly passed away, and the wife, they sing in gospel music. We sing with them a lot in services together. We put on a service last night for them. My mother-in-law, Earl's wife, and my wife were cooking food and selling things and helping them outside of the church, raising money. Hard worker. And I told her last night, I said, you know what? I could not have done that without you. Sometimes. But she said, no, we're doing it for one cause. She said, sure, we did it for them, but we did it so God could get glory and honor from their ministry the same as He does from ours. We're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I remember, as I was talking about a minute ago, that first lap, that second lap, that third lap, as I would go around that track, those were not fun. But that fourth lap, as I turned the final turn, I could see ahead of me what they call the finish line. And I like the finish line because if I can get to that finish line, I can stop. See, I have a goal. I have a purpose. And I'm looking forward to the day when this world is no longer my home. That heaven is my home. And I've read enough of this Bible to know that we're nearing the finish line. We're nearing the time when we won't have to run anymore. When we will not have to struggle anymore. We won't have to deal with the world. We don't have to turn on the television and watch the news and just all that goes on every single day. We won't have to deal with that. There'll be no more sickness. Well, there won't be any more cancer. There'll be no more death. It'll all be gone. The Bible said that's all passed away. In Revelation, He said, I see the new heaven and the new earth. And I'm running this race today because I can see the finish line is ahead. There's only one thing in this scripture. All of prophecy has been fulfilled except for one event up until this point. 1 Thessalonians says that the trumpet's going to sound. That the Lord is coming back. And I like that because that same author and finisher of my faith that I found here in Hebrews 12, that same author, the same Jesus. It excites me because in Isaiah and in Matthew and in Luke, when God was going to announce His Son's birth, they announced it with an angel. Right? When He went to announce His resurrection and there was an empty tomb, who met Mary? An angel. When He ascended into heaven, the angel said, why seek ye living among the dead there at the tomb? But then at the ascension, they said, this same Jesus that you see will come again. 1 Thessalonians, it excites me to know that when He comes back this time for the church, whether my finish line reach in death here or should He come back today, an angel's not coming back for us this time. The Bible said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with that voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm running my race so that when I stand before Him, see, when I crossed that line and they gave out awards, they would be waiting there to put a gold medal around my neck. And the reward was nice, and it was nice to have that medal to show so that others could look and see. But the feeling inside of knowing how I had run, how I had did my best, how I had stayed faithful to the course that was laid before me, that meant more than the medal because I knew inside I had done all I could do. When we get to heaven, can we honestly stand before God? He says, well done, good and faithful servant. And we know. Could we leave here today knowing we've done everything we could have done for God?